London's Underground is a marvel, one of the inventions of the 19th century that made human beings believe that civilization is possible. Three million people a day take the tube to work, to school, to theater, church, mosque, and pub. Londoners treasure their favorite names among the 275 tube stops: Mudchute, Tootingbeck, Cockfosters, Cuttysark, and Pudding Mill Lane. 4,000 stout, stubby iron cars prowl 253 miles of track, ferrying a flabbergasting assortment of the sorts of citizens who personify the 21st century world city-state London has become. Silver-haired brokers in pinstriped suits, blue-haired punkers in black leather vests, school kids of all colors in soccer sweaters, robed Africans and scarlet turbaned Sikhs. London's tube and bus network still goes just about anywhere Londoners want to be delivered, but the world's original transit system is breaking down. Too many riders, too few repairs, too many delays. A lifelong rider named Alan Symes told us in front of Victoria Station.
If animals were transported in a similar fashion, there would be a very strong protest. It's very often dirty and, of course, completely over-congested.
The precarious condition of the tube can be apparent even before you wait for a train. Because repairs that have to be made to the system are so vast, it puts a lot of the station out of business at the time they're doing the repairs. For example, here in the Tottenham Court Station, the down escalator doesn't operate between 7:30 and 10:30 in the morning because of repairs. So people coming down to the Bakerloo line have to walk down 99 steps along a narrow spiral staircase. London's Underground has often been an emblem of the city. During the Blitz, it sheltered intrepid citizens of all statuses from Nazi bombs. During Britain's post-war imperial slide, it reassured Britons that though they had lost their empire, they had not lost the knack for making vast endeavors work and with civility. New York subways were grimy and dangerous, but London's were a pleasure, efficient, expansive, courteous. So imagine the chagrin when late last year, London's mayor, Ken Livingstone, said that the condition of the tube had grown so gloomy, he had to hire a man who says,
I have yet to find a good bagel in London. I've given up looking.
I mean, they're all over, but they're not...
They're not good bagels.
Bob Kiley, a New Yorker, most recently, obviously. The man who made Boston's trains run on time in the late 1970s. The man largely credited with cleaning up the grime, crime, and graffiti of New York subways in the 1990s.
Well, one way of looking at this from a personal standpoint is that this is the oldest rapid transit system in the world. The Battle of Gettysburg was being waged when the first tunnel was being built in London, 1863. New York and Boston actually are the next oldest, so I will have had the chance to run the three oldest systems in the world.
At an age at which many other men might ponder retirement, Mr. Kiley is 65. He's injecting himself into the entrails of the world's oldest public transit system.
The commute this morning was a real pain. Something was wrong with one of the lines. I still haven't learned what. They said it was a signaling problem. It meant that a ride that should take 5 to 10 minutes at the most was a 25-minute experience. That doesn't seem like a long time. But today is warm, and being in a train, we were held for about 4 or 5 minutes. It seemed like 4 or 5 hours. But there they were. They were being stoic and quiet, and I was hoping that they weren't recognizing me. And I don't think, maybe they did and they just weren't letting on, but I managed to escape unscathed.
When London subways stall, the quiet can be striking, but also a bit sinister. When trains stop in the tube, their electric ventilation shuts down. People are packed together in upright space, gill to gill, like so many breakfast gibbers. Within seconds, the air becomes hot. Within a minute, it becomes thin. Within 2 minutes, some people begin to gasp and twitch rather than hiss or kvetch.
This gent apologizes for delay to your westbound service. This is due to a person taking you on a train at Oxford service. Trains are now on the move, and we should be moving in the next minute or so.
If you missed that, a passenger's been taken ill on the train at Oxford Circus. Train should be moving presently. Passengers on a packed, stuck train might wonder what came first, the illness or the delay. The scene above ground is equally congested. Construction, immigration and the clamor for a spot of green have swelled Greater London, Andrew Murray, an official with the Subway Train Drivers Union, says...
It's a bleak statistic, but it's true that it actually takes as long to get across London now as it did 100 years ago. On a horse and cart, you go no faster due to traffic.
For the first time in its history, London has a mayor elected by direct popular vote. Ken Livingston is an old socialist of the British stripe. He's in the unusual position for a leftist of arguing for local control. Mr. Livingston complains that a succession of federal governments, Labour and Conservative, have stinted on spending money to maintain and improve London's transit, that the city has been stiffed to put more money into the nation's grasping hands. Mr. Livingston campaigned for the city to take over London Transit. The idea has been popular in Greater London, so Prime Minister Tony Blair's Labour government is beginning to accede by transferring some authority to the city, but not fast enough for the mayor.
If I could have had the underground last year, by now the work, the reconstruction would be starting. It's perhaps 6 months before the underground is passed over to Bob Kiely and myself, and that is effectively two more years lost. We still are in a position where Londoners travel in abominable conditions.
Blair is widely projected by polls to be returned to power next week by a handsome margin, but American Bob Kiely might be the second most popular man of the moment in Britain. The New York Times has called him the most popular American to arrive in Britain since Dwight Eisenhower.
What did you do to learn what you had to do? Did you ride around? Did you walk in and out of stations?
I spent a fair amount of time, especially getting to know the London Underground, the Tube. I rode it. I had and still have a steep learning curve to climb.
As you rode around the underground, from the perspective of the individual rider, what are some of the things that you noticed that made it, that both impressed you and concerned you?
The patrons, the customers, are stoic, persistent, patient, forgiving, maybe too forgiving.
A lot like New Yorkers?
The exact polar opposite of New Yorkers.
That's why I asked.
The first time I was out on the system in October. A train was held for 10 or 11 minutes just outside of Victoria Station. We got into the station. There was a mass of humanity on what are pretty narrow platforms trying to make its way up to the mezzanine area. I managed to slip through the mezzanine area into a control booth, which is a glass booth right in the center of things. At about the time I got into the booth, a group of employees went up the steps to the front entrance to form a kind of human chain to keep people from coming into the station, because there was this sea of humanity trying to get out. And I'd never seen anything like that anywhere. But when all this was going on, there was no complaining other than the shuffling of feet. There was not much noise. I remember turning to the man who was in charge of the control booth, saying very nervously, is there a way out of here? Because they're going to come and kill us if they find out who we are. I said, we'd be dead by now if we were in Times Square Station.
Mr. Kiely saw was not a phenomenon, much less a mirage. Alan Crossing, the station assistant at Victoria, briefly makes himself one of the most disliked men in London during morning rush hours. He has to hold back riders from entering the train station. Crossingham relies on a combination of strong arms and British obedience to restrain a human tidal wave.
That happens 9 times out of 10 every working week, Monday to Friday. We have to hold them at the top of the stairs and the way in here. Simple overcrowding. We've got to do it now, instead.
Just wait there, please. Wait there.
With that order, Mr. Crossingham holds up his hand and people stop just short of the gate. Writer Frank Gawusi was on his way out of Victoria Station that morning.
The tube during rush hour is akin to almost unarmed combat at times. And it seems that the tube at the moment seems to be running A to maximum capacity, so that if there is one, if it doesn't run perfectly, then the whole thing backs up.
Bob Kiley would like to build more tube stops, maybe another underground line, and send more buses along street routes to relieve the overstuffed tube. He would like to ventilate, maybe even air-condition London's trains. The tunnels carved out in 1863 are so narrow, engineers say there's no space for exhaust. Widening tunnels or blasting new ones into the ground is costly. In one of the world's most expensive cities, there is no idea that sounds cheap or easy. But Bob Kiley arrives in London with a kind of Ike-like stature to negotiate between interests. Suzanne May, who's chair of a parliamentary citizens' oversight group called the London Transport Users Committee, says the plight of public transit is so great, Mr. Kiley might be accorded supreme commander powers and a commensurate budget to overcome them.
How would you assess the state of public transit in London today?
Well, I think users get a bit desperate about it. I think that they feel that it's all falling apart. But, on the other hand, I think compared with many other cities in this country and maybe around the world, we're actually quite well off. Mm-hmm. And we have a very good system, but it's just that it's struggling.
Yeah. Well, I was going to point out, compared to American systems, the largest being New York, Chicago, and Boston, this system seems to go more or less everywhere between bus and rail. By our North American standards, seems to be very safe.
Yes. So why are we whinging?
Yeah.
Maybe we have higher standards and higher expectations.
Even Andrew Murray of the Train Drivers Union, as natural an adversary of a transit system chief as Manchester United is to Liverpool Central, looks forward to Bob Kiley.
You know, until he gives us cause for concern, we should be broadly supportive of him. And, you know, we want to sort of give him a fair wind to start with.
Mind the gap. This station is Tottenham Court Road. Change here for Central Line.
How will you measure yourself in a year, your progress?
I don't think success can happen in a year. This is a 4 to 6 year proposition. In New York, I would say, a quiet passenger is a happy passenger. And the fact that you're not being screamed at, or at least nattered at, would be a major indicator of success in New York. Well, since they're already stoic, that one is lost. I don't think I'll be hoisted onto anyone's shoulders in 4 to 6 years.
I mean, beheading hasn't been around here for a few centuries, but it's been known to happen.
There could be a head on a stake in the Tower of London here if we're not really careful. It won't be mine, but I could be among those leading the charge.
Let me take you by the hand and lead you through the streets of London. I'll show you something to make you change your mind.
Over the past century and a half, London Transit has been the circulatory system of the world's first great international city, accessible, successful, and democratic. Its very English efficiency in delivering laborers and managers, native Englishmen and immigrants, has made arrivals from all over the globe see London as a destination that is open to their lives. The Tube now gives out travel information in 7 languages. English is only one. Dwight Eisenhower came to London to preside over Operation Overlord. Bob Kiley has to run Operation Overload, a mission to keep London moving. Keep it a capital of the world.
Thank you once again for listening to these announcements.